From Thrawn to Dantooine and everything in between. Presented by the Youtini Podcast Network. Talking Star Wars Legends books, comics, gaming, and collectibles while celebrating the Star Wars EU to expand your universe one episode at a time. This is Legends Look Back.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Legends Look Back. Proudly part of the Youtini Podcast Network, this is a Star Wars books podcast for people who like their video game controllers with not one, not two, but three handles in 64 style, where we celebrate the Star Wars EU and expand your universe one episode at a time. I'm your host, Jared Mays, and I'm joined by the legendary, the illustrious Rick Race.
Yes, it is true. I'm here, and I don't have a three-handed joystick right now, but I wish I did. That sounds cool.
You could if you were Spider-Maul.
Spider-Maul.
I'm also joined by another co-host of mine that I'm not on speaking terms with tonight because, Rick, you can inform him that his favorite college basketball team may or may not have happened to knock my favorite college basketball team out of the Sweet 16. I don't know. I'm not talking to him. So
That's right. My alma mater. I wish I had a hat on. Man, I should be wearing it. Next show I will.
Yeah, I didn't even tell your name. Freddie C. Welcome, Freddie.
That's right. The Wildcats, University of Arizona, absolutely stomped on a team.
Okay, let's not call it stomping.
It was not a stomping.
It was a royal beatdown, it was.
You guys did pretty good, but woof. It was insane just to watch these college guys play such great basketball. I love basketball.
I mean,
anyway,
most of these guys are going to be starting in the NBA next year.
Easy.
They are phenomenal. But Rick looks so peaceful over there, not even worrying, not even caring.
Yeah, it's end of hockey season. I'm trying to see if my team's going to squeak in the playoffs that they don't deserve to be in because they've been terrible all year. But anything could happen. So
yeah, who knows? I made big promises about getting into hockey after the Olympics, and I didn't/haven't. Honestly, forgot it existed. But I'm totally gonna jump on that bandwagon
soon.
We're
only a few weeks away from the end of it all, right?
Dude,
okay,
yeah,
playoff, I should start watching.
Playoff hockey is next level. So it's like the best in all of sports. Maybe March Madness is pretty cool if you're into basketball, but playoff hockey is so good.
Do they check each other into the wall? Because I like that.
Yeah, so they're, each round is a best of seven series, and so these teams hate each other by the end of it. And so there's not as many fights. There are fights, but there's tempers are at an all-time max. And so it'll be uncontrolled fights, not so much the need to rally up my team kind of fights, because they don't want to lose somebody for a few minutes. They just want to get to the game. But anyway, cool. It's good time. Best time of the year.
Are the Preds in? Are they still going?
That's what I'm saying. They're right there on the bubble where they need to win the rest of the games. There's like six games left, and they'll hold on to that last wild card spot.
I only exclusively like my teams on bubbles.
Yeah.
That's how I've always
That checks out. Well, I can relate. I'm a Nashville native, and I remember when the Titans lost the Super Bowl by a yard and the Preds lost the Stanley Cup, and we've had no major league victories of any sort.
Are you talking about the Super Bowl from 2000?
Around then. Might have been 99, 98.
Because, man, that was a long time ago, dude. Wow.
That's the day I stopped caring about sports for like 20 years.
That explains everything.
Yeah.
One thing is, this is now a sports podcast. We decided to change.
Well, we don't have Emily tonight, so we're just going all in on sports.
And Legends Look Back. Think of the past. We're sports legends look back now.
Retro sports.
Retro. Yeah.
Back when baseball had steroids.
April Fools. April Fools.
Don't need to. April Fools. Happy April to everybody. Happy to have made it to a new month. Got a lot of fun stuff here on the horizon, including a new Star Wars TV show right around the corner. In fact, it's April 2026, and that means a new Star Wars animated series is coming out on Disney Plus, Maul: Shadow Lord. And I absolutely wrote Shadow Hunter in the show notes 10 times today as I was writing these up. That's not what it's called. It's called Maul: Shadow Lord. a show set in between, if I'm not mistaken, the prequel and classic Star Wars trilogies, chronicling Maul's rise to power in the criminal underworld. Maul Shadow Lord is getting a lot of early buzz. I'm seeing the influencers with their little kits. What's up, Lucasfilm? We like our kits too, you know. If you're ever thinking about mailing one of those, I can get you Freddy C's address. I can send you mine if you want it, but like you don't have to have it. It's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. How are you?
Everything's fine. Yeah.
In fact, Maul Shadow Lord has been greenlit for season 2, which is cool. We haven't even seen it yet, except for somebody kind of has a little bit. Freddie, you were at Star Wars Celebration last year. Yes. What are your early impressions?
Oh, man. It definitely reminded me of this book of like peak Maul. Just will come in and say, this is mine. I am in control of the situation now. You see that very clearly, and it fits, in my opinion. If you read Lockdown, it could totally happen in a different kind of canon, right? It's not being retconned.
So dark and gritty.
Very dark and gritty and very underworldly.
Cool. Man, I hope they've got a space prison episode. I love space prisons. I mean, I don't want to be in one, but like I like reading about them, seeing them on TV. Oh, yeah. There's that episode of Andor with the space prison. That's cool.
Oh, yeah.
How do you feel about space prison, Rick?
Terrible. Well, I think space prison Rick is a character I'm going to have to develop. But
your new puppet.
My new puppet.
Yeah, D&D character.
Move over, guys. Prison Mike.
Rick, yeah. I dare you. Next show, have it in hand. Have it ready to go.
I was puppet shopping earlier this week. Need to buy a raccoon if anybody's in the market.
Oh, anyway. Boy. Yep.
Raccoon, Space huh? Prison Rick is Space excited prisons. For...
Yep.
He's excited for Maul Shadow Lord, as are we all, debuting, I believe, on April 6th here next week. Looking forward to that IRL time. But I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't know much about it at all, except for some early buzz that perhaps it's got Darth Talon. Mm. Where's Emily when we need her? We cannot... on a podcast, have three dudes talking about Darth Talon. We cannot talk about Darth Talon without the female perspective. We won't do it. We're not going to do it. Which brings us to our next point, all about Darth Talon. No, we're not doing that. Excited, though, to see what happens here. That would be spicy. So spicy. While we wait for... That's not her.
Yeah, I didn't think so. I just wanted to see if you were aware.
He's about to flash us all with that? Darth Talon. Darth Talon jump scare. For our audio listeners, Rick's having too much fun. Pictures in the background. I believe that was Kamari Vosa, who makes a brief appearance in this book.
Remind me, I got to tell you a game idea I have for the show.
Cool. Love it. Love it. Will it be stupider than Can Nihilus Eat It? It's a fan favorite game.
It's probably a little less stupid.
Yeah, Nihilus Eat It. Oh my God.
In the vein.
Oh, yeah, that one. That one got some fun buzz. But yeah. For now, while we wait for this highly anticipated new TV show, we are breaking down one of Freddie C's favorite Maul-related Legends books. And that book is Maul Lockdown. Maul Lockdown is a brutal, high-octane story that drops Darth Maul right into a gladiator prison where survival is optional and chaos is guaranteed. As Maul goes undercover to track down a deadly superweapon for Darth Sidious, ever heard of him? He battles through inmates, crime lords like Jabba the Hutt, and some truly nightmare fuel creatures, all while barely breaking a sweat. We break down the story. We're going to explore what it adds to Maul's character, of course, being set before the Phantom Menace. We're going to ask the important question, what happens when you throw the galaxy's most dangerous Sith assassin into the worst prison imaginable? Spoiler, it goes very badly for everyone. Absolutely everyone. Freddie, what is it that gets you so hyped about this book? I feel like every time we mention it on the show, you're like, yo, I love that book. That book rocks.
Yeah. It is... just, you mentioned it, it's high octane. It's a mix of, I want to say Joe Schreiber may have even mentioned that it was a mix of American History X and what is it, Enter the Dragon.
Okay.
Which is basically Fight Club, right? And gladiatorial. So there's a very
Fight Club with samurais.
Yeah, there's a very martial aspect of it where you see just how intense and strong Maul is. And also maybe a slight disservice to his character, right? We all wish there was a little bit more Maul. We get it. Yeah. We get it eventually, but you know, I understand why they cast him aside for Sir Christopher Lee. So I would do the same to have him in my...
Underserved in the movies, so we've got to have these books to flesh him out. Except for we didn't know how much Filoni was going to make him a pet character and put him in literally everything.
Yes.
You get a Maul. You get a Maul. You get a Spider-Maul. Oh, look, what's under my hat? Another Spider-Maul. And just now we've got another TV show. Hey, I'm not complaining. I am really partial to the Legends Maul books. The Legends Maul books absolutely rock.
Yes,
and Maul Shadowhunter might be my favorite Legends book. It's one of five, maybe five, that I just want to keep coming back to for fun on a day off. I just want to pick it up, want to sink into it. I just love that book. This one is not that high for me, but it is a super enjoyable kind of standalone read. If you're into violence and gore,
that's the thing, right? This is dark. This is not. I know that George Lucas always mentioned that Star Wars was for 13-year-old boys, and this is not for 13-year-old boys.
No, it's for like 40-year-old basement dwellers. No.
This is for
anybody can enjoy this.
You know. I would call it like a Dark Horse 18 and up comic book kind of community. Just dark.
Yeah,
right?
I wouldn't,
it's Joe Schreiber.
I wouldn't hand this to like a 12-year-old girl from the youth group.
Or somebody at your church. Hey, can you recommend me here's Maul Lockdown.
Yeah. Rick, are you looking to get fired? Hand them Maul Lockdown.
Got it queued up and ready, everybody. Don't you worry.
Oh, gross. It's a banner copy. Blah.
It is. It's not great. I was trying to grab my hardcover, but I realized it's at home in my sit display. So
never mind. Yeah, cut me a thumbnail of that. Give me a good pose. This is going on the socials. Oh, come on. Don't look.
Can you smell the book? Smell the book too. I want you to smell it. Yeah, take it. That one.
For
yeah,
our audio listeners, we're now performing skits in which Rick does funny faces.
Do you like some ASMR of the...
Is it smell sweet?
Of the pages?
The pages.
Does it smell like blood and guts? And prison stink?
And a Barnes & Noble.
Oh,
that's great. That's great. So excited to get into this one. We've got some good stuff here with Maul Lockdown. Guys, let's talk about kind of the by the numbers here, the behind the scenes critical info that everybody needs to know about Maul Lockdown. I'll start us off. Maul Lockdown was written by Joe Schreiber, the author of, I don't know the whole discography here, so help me out. I know for off the top of my head, he wrote Death Troopers and Red Harvest. Is there anything else I'm missing off the top of your head?
You know what? This is a Trevor question. I wonder if there's any weird short stories.
One of our listeners will let us know in the
in
the YouTube comments or in the Discord. Always love to chat about the books in the Discord. We've had more discussion going in the Discord lately. Rick, they want to hear the song. We have to get the Nihilus, your Nihilus heavy metal jam. It goes surprisingly hard. It does.
Nice. We haven't introduced our song yet, right? Our song.
No.
Okay.
Not yet.
I did listen
Secret
to
Project.
It.
Sorry, guys.
Two or three times just for fun over the past week. your Nihilus song. So, Maul Lockdown, Joe Schreiber. I found that he also wrote a short story called The Cyrox Redemption. Cyrox Redemption. Give me the one, Rick. Cyrox Redemption is contained in the Star Wars Insider, the Fiction Collection, Volume 2. It was first written in Star Wars Insider, number 146. Look at this. It's got some full-page artwork featuring some characters inside of the... What do you call this place? The Screaming Citadel? No,
I don't know.
The prison. What's it called?
Carchive something?
Cog Hive 7.
Cog Hive 7. Which rolls off the tongue. Look at this big old prison snake.
No, boy.
Anyway, cool short story. This was like a prequel to Maul Lockdown. Yeah, Freddy's he's checked out now. He's going to read the story while we're live
Sorry,
on air.
Guys. Check this out, though. I look at this page.
Oh boy.
Malgus looking like he's ready for lockdown. So Excited to have a book by Joe Schreiber. Guys, could you feel the horror overtones in this? Knowing
Oh,
that
totally.
knowing that it was written by Schreiber makes all the sense in the world to me.
Yes, for sure.
Yes. I mean, this book, I felt like when I first read it, it was one theme and then another theme, right? And then another theme, and then you're just like, wait a minute. Just like this prison, we're going so far deep into this book that I almost forgot about the gladiatorial stuff.
There's like almost too many subplots.
Yeah.
And characters
to
keep track of, especially for some of the other Schreiber books that are great and very entertaining reads. They're usually pretty straightforward and simple, you know, horror type books. But this one has a lot of interweaving storylines and characters that, like, it's one of those you almost need to chart out the characters because.
Yeah. And there's a lot of debuts too, or like stories that tie into other stories in the greater lore. And it's like, I don't know. I don't think I've even discovered all of that yet.
It's very connected to Darth Plagueis, which I love. Darth Plagueis has so many references, and this is one of
number
the
one
big references.
Oh.
Yeah, Freddy's number one. I forget about that every time. Never ceases to humor me. All these years later, Freddy.
Yeah.
That goes back pre-pandemic days.
Oh, yeah. This was like, what, episode six of...
It's before I had gray in the beard.
Wow.
And a rapidly receding hairline. Glad that we can see that on video now that we're in HD here. No, Frick! No, don't do this! I just called you Frick. That's how much you surprised me.
Frick.
Space prison Frick. All right,
I've been called worse.
You get the next bullet point, Rick. What else do people need to know about Mall Lockdown?
Okay, so yeah, the story is set 1 year prior to Maul's on-screen debut in episode one. Mm-hmm. So the world doesn't know Maul. He's the secret apprentice of Darth Sidious, and
spoiler alert.
Oh, sorry, my bad. And this is another one of his tests to see if he's ready.
Slash also assassination attempt, though I guess that's a spoiler for the book. So this is pre-Spider Legs. Is that what you're saying?
Very, very pre-Spider Legs.
1 year, right? Before, no. Roughly like 1.5.
Yeah.
Before. Spider Legs, like that took him a long time to.
Yeah, I'm iffy on the timeline.
He was in the dumps for a while, had some therapy.
He was just in the downy dumps.
He hadn't become Sam Witwer yet.
Yeah.
This is pre-Sam Witwer. Okay.
Yep.
Who was the original voice actor? Peter Chenoweth? Feels right. Feels
not
close.
Sure. Not sure. This is one of those books that I've only listened to the audiobook. I've read it twice now, or listened to it twice, but I've not spent many minutes, I guess, actually in the pages or on an ebook. And so there's a lot of words or phrases that once I read them for the first time, I was like, oh, that's what it is? Like the name of the prison, Cog
Hive 7.
Hive 7. I have heard, because I listened to the book on like +2 to +3, it comes out as Kharkov 7.
Oh.
And so I'm like, Kharkiv, what's Kharkiv?
Watch that be a real place in Star Wars.
Kharkiv 7. It's a Russian town, right? Or something like
that. Viva las the questions!
Jonathan right. Davis.
Oh.
Jared.
My favorite.
Johnny D.
Yeah, he did the Bane, right? He did Bane and Revenge of the Sith. He's a classic.
Uh-huh. Kenobi.
Yeah.
Yeah, we gotta get him on the show. That'd be fun.
And of course, you've got John Williams' score throughout the audiobook. It's so...
so juicy.
Mamma mia.
My first time listening to this, I was mowing a big public park down where I used to live, and there was a huge tennis court that was overgrown. And the tennis court had like those high fences, you know, that they used to keep the balls in. But it was like a jungle. It had gotten overgrown. And I took it upon myself like an idiot to clean this tennis court and the park on like behalf of the community and just like try to revitalize it. So I remember being inside the cages while listening to the cage match.
Ooh,
like weed eating all the jungle out of the tennis court, thinking like, this goes pretty hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. From the door gets like shuts behind you and you scream like a girl because it's the wrong place, the wrong time.
Thankfully, there were no wampas to be found.
That's
right. Though, yeah. Pretty sure there was a snake. Anyway, all right, what else we got, Freddie?
I've worked out twice to this book and it makes your adrenaline just rush. And you're just, I was hitting squats like, oh my gosh, I've never done it like this before.
Heck yeah, dude. I work out to Trivium. That also goes hard.
Let's see. We've
what
got,
was the band that Emily was into? Sleep Token?
Sleep Token.
The fans,
Ball was in Sleep
the fans
Token.
Go hard for
That's
Sleep
another
Token.
Behind the scene.
Shout out Emily. Shout out Sleep Token.
Shout out to Emily. She's a real one. let's see. Oh yeah, the hardcover. So this hardcover came out. Oh man, I remember when it came out. This was some of the, like the peak me getting really strong into Legends or. Well, at the time, just
Star Wars just books.
Star Wars books, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I was already, gosh, I had probably already been to several several celebrations at that point. And I remember seeing this hardcover. And I mean, it was like, man, this made me wish we would have gotten something like it. But this was also like really close to the time where Canon or well, Disney, I bet you Disney was having conversations with George when this book was getting published.
Yeah, this came out, I think it was the penultimate Legends book before what I call D-Day, the Legends canon split.
Yeah.
So this is one of the only Legends novels not to receive a bannerless paperback, to my knowledge. I could be mistaken. Watch Tom from Delray jump in the chat and say, I'm actually, we love you, Tom. Let us know if we're wrong about this. But I believe that this is one of the only ones that doesn't have the bannerless edition. So we can quit giving Rick a hard time for his bannered copy, right? It's all right, Rick. We'll let this one slide, buddy.
Okay.
Yeah. He's not too down on himself. Though I did discover I don't have the hardcover of this yet, which means I don't own this book at all, which is criminal. And I've got to call out to the smugglers group. So hopefully somebody comes in. Here's another fun thing, Freddie. You remember back when we used to do the SWAT club, the SWAT team?
Oh yes, yes. I remember.
Describe
that.
This to the folks that are not in the know.
Oh, the SWAT team. It was. I don't even know how it started. How did it get into the ethos? I don't even know where I saw it, but there was a thing put on by, who was it at the time? Jared, was
Del
it
Rey? I mean, I think
Del
there
Rey?
Was a, I think there was like a little flyer for it in the back of like the paperbacks.
Potentially. Yeah. That's probably how I found out about it. And it was like, hey, we want you to post reviews of your favorite Star Wars books. Prove it to us. And you get free stuff.
Like, do our marketing for us, and we'll give you prizes. We'll incentivize it.
And we did it.
We did it hard. Freddie and I were both on the leaderboard, top 25, baby. And along with Jawa James. Shout out Jawa James. He's the best. And other people, too, probably. But
shout out to the real ones.
this was heavily part of that marketing scheme. In fact, Rick, I think we've got some photos here. There were two tie-in, like, promotional posters for this. Fight Club style, match posters that were released in advance of the novel. One has got Maul and a Yuuzhan Vong. It says, systems collide, Maul versus Vong. Watch via galactic closed circuit. So live from the hive. Really cool that they made this. Did you get this on a bookmark or something, Freddie?
Yes, but you know what? Skooma Joe, I'm calling Skooma Joe out. We need a Skooma Joe version.
Cool.
Of Lockdown.
I kind of want you to do a giveaway of the bookmark to our listeners.
Okay.
If you can find it. I mean, who knows?
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
I couldn't find it. I don't own one. I don't think I ever got this one. Got a lot of cool stuff, but this wasn't one.
I've got to go through the tomes right here. So
he's got bins. There's another one too, right, Rick? Yeah. This one is it a week way? Oh,
that's
it says it right
say.
There. The week way. Yeah, it says, Durasteel Cage Match, Plagueis / Sidious, and the Rule of Two promotions present Durasteel Cage Match, No Weapons, No Mercy, Maul versus Weequay. Which of the posters do you guys prefer? This one looks like they're about to kiss.
I like this one way, way more.
What, the Vong poster?
Yeah.
I would like this one more if it didn't have the Plagueis Sidious reference. Like,
it's a spoiler. It
takes it out of the in universe kind of world that I love.
Yeah, it definitely reads as like this is marketing for a book.
Yeah.
See that.
Which is cool. We got to get one of these signed by Schreiber. Man, that'd be cool. I bet you they're out there. Like actual physical copies of these.
We'll have to push to see if we can get Schreiber with some of our favorite folks. And
yeah, we'll try. That would be cool. All right, let's get into the summary. Hey, this is the spoiler alert. If you have not yet read Maul Lockdown, now is your chance. Though we've already spoiled more of it than we should have. Sorry about it. So let's get into it, guys. Here's what happens in Maul Lockdown. First of all, Darth Maul gets dropped into what is essentially the galaxy's worst vacation destination, a nightmare prison called Cog Hive 7, where survival means winning gladiator fights and losing any sense of personal space. Can you imagine the BO? Anyway, disguised as the charmingly subtle Jagannath, Maul isn't just there to rack up a win streak. He's on a mission from Darth Sidious himself, with Darth Plagueis lurking in the background, which is rad, to track down a shady arms dealer and secure a weapon so dangerous it could tip the balance of the galaxy. It's a nuke. Just a nuke. So, yes, it's a prison break story, but with more decapitations and slightly worse roommates. Though I did room with that one dude who rubbed his feet together real bad. He's a surgeon now. Anyway, you're up, Rick.
All right. Yeah, so as Maul fights his way through inmates, guards, and all kinds of things that probably shouldn't legally be classified as alive, the novel leans hard into gritty, almost horror-style chaos. There's a cannibal gang, a deeply unpleasant warden, and the looming presence of Jabba the Hutt, heard of him,
yes,
meddling from the outside like a crime lord who just cannot stop checking his notifications. So true. Meanwhile, Maul treats every life or death scenario like a mild inconvenience, carving through opponents with the emotional investment of someone doing yard work. Well said. The deeper he digs, the clearer it becomes that the mission isn't just about retrieving a weapon. It's about navigating layers of betrayal, manipulation, and Sith-level scheming, where nobody is exactly rooting for anybody else.
Yeah, there are depths, as Emily would say.
There are depths.
And just as you thought that was it, it goes further. And by the time everything explodes, and seriously, it absolutely does explode.
It has to explode. It's not Star Wars if it doesn't blow up.
Yes. Maul finds himself in the middle of a full-blown collapse involving a self-destructing prison, a horrifying creature called the Syrox, ew, and a tense alliance with Kamari Vosa and the Bandagora. What?
Shout out Kamari Vosa. Love her.
Yeah. Bandagora, though. What? Crazy. There's double-crossing, desperate escapes, and just enough cooperation to keep everyone alive for just 5 more minutes, please. Through it all, Maul remains exactly who you'd expect. Relentless. Oh my gosh, relentless. Terrifying. Absolutely laser focused on completing his mission, even if it means briefly helping his enemies before inevitably going back to bringing just more nightmares. Ever so many more nightmares coming. It never stops. It's brutal. It's fast-paced. And somehow manages to answer the question, what if a Sith Lord entered a prison fighting ring with, honestly, it goes about as well for everyone else as you think.
Yeah, very true. A lot of death and destruction and gore and deception. Very fun, very fun. Guys, let's rate this one around the horn. I'm going to start us off with a solid 8 out of 10. It's a good book.
Oh, yeah.
Super solid. I get lost in the plot a little bit, as Rick said. So just... this is like classic legend. So many layers of plot happening, but some good cameos, some good fan service here. all these cameos were very fun for me. Jabba showing up. I'm like, hey, I know him. It's Jabba. And then you got the Wampa, the Vong. That one's fun. A lot of fun. Yeah. Plagueis. That's the bombshell for me where I was like, wait a second. This ties into Plagueis?
I mean, the second the Munes get involved, right? That's what they're called, Munalists?
Yeah.
Munes. Yeah.
You know Plagueis is buried deep.
He go to mask. Love it. So great. So 8 out of 10 from me. How about you, Rick?
Oh, boy. It's not... I love the book. It's not exactly my favorite subgenre. And so I don't know where to rank it. I did enjoy it and read it quickly. Like, it's one of those that you definitely... Yeah. It's hard to put down. So I think I'm going to give it like a 7.5.
It's fair. That's fair. You're more of like a Rogue Squadron dude. You love the Rogue books.
Yeah, the technology and the ships. There's not a lot of ships.
Not enough ships. That's the problem. It's very contained. Like, it's claustrophobic.
It's it's not very.
That's, and that's
heavy.
How Schreiber writes.
And it is very. I think it's the violence, like the gore. I don't just prefer it. I mean, it's a good story if that's what you like, and it is really good writing in that regard. It's not my preferred genre.
Sure. All right. Freddie, bring us home. I got an 8. He's a 7.5. Where are you at?
I have to reanalyze my top 10. Right now, I would put it in my top 10 unless I can think of other books that beat that.
For sure. I think out of all the books that we've read, it's one that you were actually messaging me about while you were reading it, which is fun. As like friends, podcast aside, business aside, like the fact that you're reading a book that you're enjoying enough to text me about at like 11 p.m. on a Tuesday.
Very much so. Absolutely.
I'm like, sir, this is a Wendy's.
It is so good. It is a very martial artistry kind of book, right? But in the way of survival, not in the way of just fighting. Like, this is very much, how do I... Not just like a can I knock him out kind of story. It's like, how do I take him out? And that's a whole different level of, oh man, I don't know. That's just survival at that point. I don't know what else to call it. Very, very John Wick, very Fight Club-y, very The Gladiator. I can see what Schreiber means though by his influences, because those are very intense books. Like, that is violence in a nutshell. And but at this time, George Lucas was, his focus was to make sure that he had a catalog of content and stories and potential things that could be, because we all know that there was a certain.
Yeah, I think timeline wise, the sale is complete by now. So I think.
Yeah,
it just depends on when Schreiber started writing and when Del Rey, you know, hired him for this. We could ask Tom, but so the sale goes through October 2012, but then the Canon Legends split isn't until April of 14.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm betting that he's starting to write this. It could be after Lucas has made the sale, but very much like Del Rey is not of, they've not yet made the switch to Canon books. So, still kind of the old timeline of publishing.
Currently, Disney has the full logistics. They're done. They got it, right? At the time, it was likely a transfer of, you know, legal transfers and a bunch of other stuff. It wasn't fully integrated. This was definitely written in a time when George was like, look at all the stuff we have in queue, and it's really good. Here's a copy. It's got to be roughly
I do think
then.
You're probably right about there being some behind-the-scenes influence, because he had huge plans for Maul. In fact, Filoni has gone on to say that some of what we're going to be seeing in Maul Shadow Lord came from George. It was stuff that George taught him about Maul, plans that he had for Maul that were unrealized that we will then see. And a lot of that has to do with him interfacing with these crime syndicates, which is what this book is about, which is cool. Love that. What if we see the Bandagora in Maul Shadow Lord?
That'd be
sick. That Shadow, would be cool. Kamari Vosa?
Yeah, that'd be interesting. This is a solid 9 in my book. I mean, there's a lot of 10s. 9.5. I'd put it up 9.5 for now.
Nice.
I like this
book. You heard it here. Freddy loves
it. I mean, where can you get Darth Plagueis just dropping Darth Sidious on a platform with no one there just by himself? Like, what a flex, Plagueis. Oh. No wonder he hated you.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of insidious dealings between those two.
Oh, gosh.
They're like chess players trying to outmaneuver one another. And Maul is not playing chess. Maul is a bulldozer. So he's on a different level there. But hey, let me ask you guys, let's get into Maul as a character here. How does Darth Maul in Lockdown compare to how we typically think of him? You know, we've got his I would say the primary material with Maul in terms of, in most people's minds, obviously Phantom Menace, but then he's gotten a lot of screen time in the Clone Wars. He's since had a lot in Rebels as well. He's come up in got an appearance in Solo. Now he's going to get another spot here in Shadow Lord. But how does this version of Maul compare to what we've seen in other media?
This was very physical Maul. I mean, we'll talk about this in another question, but we see the, like we talked about, the physical, the martial artist side, where he has to develop and use skills that aren't solely based on his connection with the Force. And so, like, I love some of the fight scenes where it's like his horn is a weapon, or just the different things he has to do to be creative to take out his enemies.
Take out the heart of a Wampa like that?
Yeah, exactly.
That's brutal. I kind of forget he has horns until he uses them in battle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang. Great, great point. What about you, Freddie?
I think this explores this was the first, in my opinion, true exploration of who Maul was, right? And at the time, I don't believe we had I'm not sure if we had the history of Maul being a slave to the Night Sisters, basically, right? I feel like that's part of the background that
was developed that may have over come time. Out in Clone Wars by this point, but where does it fit in the canon? It's murky.
This is, it's supposed to be like a year before Phantom Menace, right? That's still, I think, what we're all kind of thinking. But this is just brutality. When you see him fighting Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan, you just think about all of the stuff that we've kind of learned over time of who Maul is. You look at this moment, you're like, oh my gosh, this guy is coming at them totally with the Force. Fighting two really good Jedi.
Yeah.
Almost like nothing.
Right. Spinning around, doing tricks, showing off. Like he's finally unleashed. But here he is leashed. He is under strict constraints.
Yeah.
He cannot use the Force, right? He's kind of under constraints that he can't openly be a Sith. He's undercover, and he struggles with this idea that he can't fully let loose. He's got to color in between the lines. Maul doesn't like to color in between the lines. Imagine trying to parent this dude.
Maul destroy.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you think he compares, Rick, to, you know, the you answered already, didn't you?
Yeah. A little bit. You're good.
Yeah. I guess it's my turn.
Feel like you see a lot more of Palpatine's interaction with him here as well.
Sure.
Of like,
yeah.
Maul. Okay. So I'm playing like a Dungeons and Dragons kind of game. We're all part of the Ranger Association, but this guy, he's not. He didn't quite graduate. He failed. And I feel like that's where he puts Maul. He's just like, you're not quite a Sith. You're kind of dumb. You're just all brute muscle. You don't know. And he always undermines Maul in these ways where Maul just, I need to do better. You know, I don't know. Just,
right.
It's very interesting to see how Sidious, also because of Plagueis kind of in the way, is showing kind of like some intense darkness too of, I would almost say like fear of not coming out on top. And you can really feel that.
Fear leads to the dark side, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's it's useful in that regard. And so Plagueis leverages what tools he has available to him. You know, this compared to Mollin Filoni's hands. Okay, so Mollin Filoni's hands, you see him, Rick's going dark side over here with some red tint behind him. You've totally distracted me with your light show over there, Rick.
I'm sorry.
Okay, Mollin Filoni's hands, he goes through so many evolutions. You see him hate Sidious. You see him beg to be redeemed by Sidious and like, put me back in. And then Sidious force lightnings him out the window and he's like, screw you, dude. And you can't hold a candle to me, you know. But this is before all that. He's not dejected with the Sith Order. He's still rising in the ranks. Whereas we're going to see him in Shadow Lord, he is done with the Sith stuff. He's going to do crime syndicate stuff. He is through with that life. He's on to the next one. But here he is still very much rising in the ranks. He is trying to prove himself, and he is laser focused on wanting to please his master. And yet we all know that Sidious treats him like absolute dog water. So it's doomed from the beginning, which creates this like craving, this hunger that is extra tragic to read just because we know what a tragic character the Maul becomes.
Yes.
I find it really heartbreaking, but kind of satisfying too. Right. So, you know, Maul spends most of the book undercover. What do we learn about his personality when he can't just openly be a Sith? This is, I think, one of my favorite things about the book. That he is so locked down. Get it? Double entendre. Oh. Okay.
He's not overt about how strong he is. He's very much like he's got a mission. He doesn't need to create side chaos, but he will absolutely murder you if you help him get what he needs, if you happen to be fighting him. And he will do his honor in making sure it's a quick one instead of a slow one. Right. So he's just incredibly cunning. He reminds me of like an sort of like a James Bondish sort of cunning level here, because he can.
Yeah.
He's outmaneuvering everybody, trying to figure things out. He gets into the warden's office, right, at one point. Like,
yeah,
they're talking face to face. What? That fast.
Right. He's outside of bounds. It's cool. It's kind of like, you know, those like 4D puzzles or 3D puzzles, I guess. I don't know where the fourth is. Maybe you can smell them. Who knows? Scratch and snip puzzles. But you kind of have to maneuver and work the
Rubik's
Cube. Rubik's Cube. But more than that, like where you have to work the ball in the inner workings. It's kind of like this where they're in the cage, but Maul also is able to work himself like in the ducts and get around, you know, where he's the areas that should be off limits to him. I find all that really interesting. The setting for this is really cool. You know, before we get into Cog Hive 7, I want to talk more about the setting. Is there a moment in the book, let's talk about Maul a little bit more as a character, is there a moment in the book where Maul feels at any point for you remotely human? Or is he just a force of nature for you the entire time? I think that in Filoni's hands, he's done a lot to explore the depths of Maul's humanity, for lack of a better word. But this is kind of prior to that evolution for Maul. What do you think, Rick?
Yeah, so with him not being able to use the Force, which actually, the way you guys said it helped sway me a little bit, because whenever I first read this book, and hearing he couldn't use the Force, I just immediately went to, okay, this is just a continuity thing where you can't have a Sith revealing himself before episode one to an entire space station and people watching on the HoloNet. Like, you can't do that. So obviously he can't use his Sith powers. And so that's kind of how I read it at first. And it was kind of like a letdown, like, oh man, I really wish they would let him use the Sith powers. And he'd be, Force user versus Wampa. You know, like, that would be a cool thing. But now that you guys have talked about what that does bring out, it kind of raises some of the humanity of he's just strong in his own might, in his own right, you know? But at the same time, he has that inner turmoil. The way that he is treated by Sidious is awful, and his own kind of like inner dialogue and inner narrative about himself is interesting. And he's got to prove himself, I think, to himself, but also to his master. But he doesn't care what anybody else thinks. It's really just himself and Sidious. And that's interesting.
Tunnel vision.
Tunnel vision for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think, Freddie? His humanity?
His humanity is, I see it often. There's times where I see it when he's talking to Sidious. You can really feel like he's thirsting for some sort of approval, and he's got his thoughts about the situation and how he feels during that. And in those moments, you can really see like what he's desperate for, but also the abuse. And then on the other side, you've got when he's put in a very, very difficult situation on Conclave 7 with a battle, or, you know, I think he was in the med bay and they were shooting it down and he gets caught in that situation. I mean, he manages to survive all of them, and you see him trying to figure out, how am I going to survive this? How can I use my utmost brutality to get through this situation and get to my goal? Because I need to prove to my master that I am a Sith, and I will do anything it takes to get what he needs to prove that at any cost. But I'm honorable. He honors, you know, like if you tell him something, he's not going to like spare your life, but he's going to make sure you go quickly. Kind of honorable. Just like executional. I don't know how else to describe it. So you see in his weaknesses, though, he's got to be like, how do I not use the Force? He tries to get through it. You see that I guess it's tough. You see it more here than anything else, in my opinion.
For sure. Looks like Jared has something to say.
Oh, gosh. That is terrifying.
Was it convincing? I pulled out my, for our audio listeners.
Yeah.
Pulled out my copy of episode 1, The Phantom Menace, with the Maul cover.
Yeah.
That I'd do the little face play here.
Right on in front of his face. And
yeah.
When
he's got the red eyes that stare right into the camera. I mean, they're pretty creepy.
That is, yeah. Which also means you were like face to face with like Sidious for like 5 minutes waiting for that, weren't you?
Yeah, that was really creepy. Yeah, for sure. Hey, you mentioned Conclave 7 in the med bay. This is a really cool setting for a Star Wars book, though Rick wishes there were more ships. Fair. What does Conclave 7 reveal about the darker corners of the Star Wars galaxy?
Oof, man.
And, you know, that we don't usually see. You know, shout out 1313, Star Wars Underworld. You know, the stuff that was cut, canned right around the same time. They were doing Underworld stuff, and it just fell by the wayside. R.I.P.
And Star Wars Detours. Don't forget about that.
That is not what I'm talking about.
Oh, man. Boy.
Yeah, it's a sad world. I mean, all kinds of questions. How does a person end up in this prison? Did they arrive by just means? Is it just that they are fighting to the death, or that they can be killed by a guard at any time without reason?
Don't they have like bombs planted in their chests?
Yeah, and their hearts. Uh-huh. And it's not a huge charge, just enough to just make it stop, you know, and
ugh, terrifying. And so
that's constantly hovering over them, but at the same time, there's a whole power structure with these gangs, and there's a smuggling operation of you can get what you want, or you can get things in, but you have to have the right connections and pay the right prices, and
Jabba's involved.
Jabba's, yeah. Everybody's involved. They want
young Jabba.
They get
young
that Jabba. Money, you know. They want their piece of the pie. There's a major weapons dealer operating out of the prison, and using it as a way to stay anonymous, which is pretty clever. It's just a very, very underworld book for sure.
Yes. Yes.
It's got all the underworld layers.
Mm-hmm.
All the underworld layers. Man, this book is so deep. There's so many things that it touches on. It's crazy.
For sure.
Conclave 7, it's so interesting to see, like, from my take, it kind of opens up the world of, we do know that in the Star Wars universe, there's got to be just really bad dudes who got to go somewhere, right? Like, what does that look like? What do these prisons look like? And sure enough, Coghive 7 is one of the worst. That is like beyond Supermax. I would not, oh man. And it's part of that gambling ring and part of Plagueis's funding. And it just,
like, is it rigged?
It's
is the gambling rigged?
Rigged? It's not
it's
rigged.
The algorithm.
It's the algorithm. The algorithm. Yeah.
This is ahead of its time with algorithm talk.
Yeah.
I feel like we are all enslaved to the algorithm now. We're it's all different. In Coghive 7.
It's different. It's a little different.
This is a little
is
different.
Is it different, Rick?
This it's uses it different. To pair up people to fight to the death.
Yeah. There's fewer wampas.
Fewer wampas and...
And you got guys that are eating flesh? What?
That's still a thing, I think.
Hey, which of the cameos in this, speaking of wampas, was your favorite? I'm torn between Plagueis and the wampas and the Yuuzhan Vong and Jabba the Hutt. You have a favorite of the cameos?
My current was the Yuuzhan Vong, because we've just gotten through the nanodecology, right? Is that it?
Oh, good use of nanodecology, Freddie. Give this man a round of applause.
That was well done.
We just finished a whole, 19 books of Yuuzhan Vong. And to see Maul in the situation with the Yuuzhan Vong and absolutely just, no questions asked, destroyed this guy in a very terrible way.
Man.
It just shows you, like, oh man, the Yuuzhan Vong would have honored this guy for sure.
Would have been really Absolutely. Handy in that whole war we had, but
slain by the Sith Lord.
Yeah.
For sure. He's like, I guess, a Vong advanced scout. I can't remember.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
Must be.
I didn't even know who the Yuuzhan Vong were when I first read this, and so I didn't pay attention to that at all. Second read through was like, whoa, that was cool.
Reads differently.
Yeah. I remember the Wampa being a big deal, because you see a Wampa on screen, Empire Strikes Back, you know how tough they are, almost kills Luke, and just a great boogeyman kind of creature.
Yeah.
And Maul's like, is it even a challenge? You know, it just has no issue.
Let's not forget, there's also, we're introduced to, in my opinion, my canon, two prison gangs. Right, and so we could play this game at the next convention. Are you Gravity Massive, or are you Bone Kings?
Bone Kings stand for sure.
Yeah, I'm gonna get a Gravity Massive on my chest.
I was wondering why you're squeezing your pecs.
Yeah, I was just thinking about it. Gravity Massive, what a name!
For sure. You know, the group that there's so many layers, so many subgroups within this book. The group that I find the most compelling is the Bandogora.
Oh, yeah.
The Bandogora. They've got, for my money, one of the best Legends characters that we have never talked about on the podcast here.
No.
Very fun pull. I think we've got an image. This is Kamari Vosa. Kamari Vosa. Does this storyline for you feel like a meaningful expansion of the galaxy or a strange detour? Speaking of Star Wars detours, Freddy, Mari Vosa is a character who she leads what, this like force worshiping cult. She is kind of like a proto Ventress. It was an apprentice of Dooku in the Jedi, who then fell to the dark side, went her own way. I'm trying to remember what all the layers are here. Really interesting.
Wasn't basically dark Ventress. Side. Yeah, she wasn't dark side for sure, but she definitely pulled on the dark side. But it was
like dark side witch kind of energy, if that makes sense. Not so much a Sith, but more of like, I just am very strong in the dark side. Very Ventressy, very, very Night Sistery, in my opinion. But also had like this whole cult that would just do some of the darkest stuff. I was looking into the Bandogora. And according to the Wook, and I need to go re-verify this, I just glanced, but they might be responsible for the Sith alchemy to make death sticks.
Oh, they were like lacing death sticks with like brainwashing agents?
Something like that, yeah.
Oh, she's in the video game Bounty Hunter. That's where I remember her from.
I was going to ask, like, where should we know her from? Because I can't place her. Are there other things that she appears in?
She's in... one of my favorite Legends comics. I can't remember if we've done it on the show. I know I've read it since we've done the show, so I just get it confused. 191 episodes, Freddie. Way to go, buddy.
I know. Congrats.
Plus all the bonus episodes. She is in Jango Fett Open Seasons.
That's right.
She's in that one. And she's in the video game Bounty Hunter. Hmm. So she's heavily featured in that. I'm trying to think what else. I think she's in Plagueis a little bit.
Yeah. And maybe this, not. This just goes, I don't know, I can't recall, but this goes straight to the whole thing of like, there are levels, there are depths to this book. There are depths.
Yeah, she's at least mentioned in Plagueis. I don't know that she is like an active character.
Technically, if you were to add anything else in this plot, as another subplot, it would just be part of the there are depths theory or perspective of this. I wonder how many plots Schreiber had before they came on a final copy.
Oh, well, who knows? Who knows what got cut? Rick, did this feel like a side quest for you or a fun inclusion?
Which part?
The Band O'Gora.
The Band O'Gora and Kamari Vosa.
Flies right by.
No.
There's like a lot of plot points.
There are some plot points. It doesn't feel like a side quest. It is adds a complexity layer. It would have been perfectly fine, I think, had the goal just been to get the weapon to Palpatine, you know, Sidious or something like that, or to, I don't know, have Maul go do something with it.
Get on a ship and escape? Is that what
you
want?
Yeah. And so, like, they weren't necessary, but they were cool.
Yeah, I hear you.
Cool. Hey, one last question. We'll wrap it up. If you had to survive, this is like the one I've been dying to get to. Uh-huh. If you had to survive one day in Coghive 7, what is your strategy? What's your strategy? Okay, I've been watching a lot of Survivor. A lot of Survivor. There's a lot of strategy that goes into Survivor. I think you get in and you start making alliances. Day one, as soon as you hit the beach, and by beach, I mean prison, you start making alliances. You're going up to people who have complementary strengths to yours. You're pitching why they need to make an alliance with you. It's Rich Gilling, your level here. Let's go to the office. When Dwight comes up to you and he says, "Do you want to be in alliance with me?" You say,
"Absolutely, I want to form an alliance."
Absolutely, I do. So I think you're finding your strong man. You're finding your critical thinker, your sneaky snake. You know, you want to form, you know, D&D style. You want to form a team and get some folks on your side. What do you think? What would be your strategy, guys? Hide? Fight? Roll over and die? What do you do?
I would do a couple things. One, if I'm in my cell, I'd be praying, like, please don't pick me for this damn fight.
I thought you were going to go the super spiritual
but also,
route.
But also, when I'm out in Gen Pop or whatever I'm doing by making food, right? If I'm part of the mess, I don't know what I'd be doing.
You said Gen Pop, like you've spent a lot of time thinking about prison. That rolled way too comfortably off your tongue, buddy.
If I was, I would be to myself. I'd be observing as much as I could respectfully, right? Like I would probably just like make glances, not so much like staring at somebody. Just glances, checking out what's going on in the room, keep my back to the wall, and just be activated and ready to absolutely pound some face if you need to.
Also, the way that you said the words, be activated, you spent a lot of time thinking about being activated, which are words that have never once crossed my mind. So
it's part of the
same universe.
The martial arts culture, though. Like if you're going into when I go to a competition for judo, I have to make sure that when I'm in that ring, I am respectful, but also simultaneously absolutely ready to read it at the situation and have a plan in
ready
case something
down.
Happens and ready to throw down. And if it doesn't go well, I have to analyze and like just be on. You have to be on. And that's how I think about it.
This is a new segment of Legends Look Back called Is Freddy Activated? And I'm thinking at Star Wars Celebration, is Freddy activated?
Oh. Yeah.
When Freddy's at a brewery in another state, is he activated?
Underground mall lockdown fight club next celebration. Find me.
Oh, yeah. He'll be absolutely activated, and so
you
will I. I can't wait. We'll make a YouTube video out of that.
Man. All right, so let me see if I can channel my inner Space Prison Rick and find a good answer. I think, okay, so this is real Rick. If I ever have to be in like a physical confrontation, my plan has always been to allow myself to be vastly underestimated, which I'm not saying I'm that strong. That's not my strength. My strength is thinking smarter, not fighting harder. And so I would be underestimated intentionally and then find a way to cheat. I'd bring a weapon in, I'd make a weapon, but something that...
Isn't that what you did with KOTOR?
Totally. Yep. I don't play by the rules. And so, yeah, that's what I would do. I would look to be an easy opponent, and then once they let their guard down, stab him in the neck with a shiv.
Okay. Wow. Hold on. This is a good one. All right. This is a good one.
This went farther and darker than I thought it would. I'm going to be honest with you guys.
This is going to go to Discord, too. This is going to go everywhere. If you had to choose your prison weapon, what would your prison weapon be?
A knife made out of toenails.
Mine could do it. That could be a definitely toenail knife.
Oh, gross. No. Oh, I regret saying that. I'm thinking about Rick's toes. Good thing Emily's not here for this one.
Oof. I would have to have like brass knuckles of some sort, you know, like something just metallic.
I've got brass knuckles.
When I'm punching, you know, I can.
Why do I own them? I don't know, but I do.
That's funny. Anyway,
it's brass knuckles. Why do I own a machete? I do. I bought it at a thrift store.
Nice.
Called Thackerland.
Thackerland?
Yeah, it was near our alma mater.
Okay.
Brass knuckles. All right.
I want Jared's Thackerland. Man, Thacker. No.
It was the coolest place of all time.
That's funny. What would I have, Ben? I think something sharp and pokey. Definitely contraband, whether it's a fork that I've sharpened or... Okay.
Don't they have sharpened bones?
Sharpened bones. That would be a good one.
Because you're just so many bones laying around. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
I'm getting nauseous. This is disgusting.
Is Maul locked out. This is Maul, exactly... Is. Yeah.
Maul gets a bolt at some point, uses it to help cut himself free. And so maybe a nice tetanus infested bolt would be my weapon of choice.
Tetanus is too slow acting.
Well, yeah, but like just the extra layer. I mean, the blunt force or
death stick juice.
Yeah, there you go. What was the white powder stuff that he?
That's right.
I'd poison an opponent. That might be smart.
Having horns is helpful, though.
It is.
We're thinking way too hard about this. All right, that's fun. Let us know in the comments. Actually, I don't want to know. How would you survive on Coghive 7? It'll get you banned from Discord, but you can tell us. That'll do it for this week's episode of Legends Look Back. It's been fun to talk about Maul Lockdown. And if you haven't read it, hope that you will. Let us know in the comments. If you're looking for some other podcasts to expand your fandom, be sure to check out the rest of our lineup in the Youtini Network, including The Cosmic Force, the Star Wars Archives, the Youtini Canon Book Club, and the Youtini Show.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you to the proud members of the United. A special thank you to James Taylor, Michael Fry, and Kevin Leninger on our High Council for their amazing support. If you'd like to join our amazing community of like-minded fans who are eager and excited to talk Star Wars Legends anytime, day or night, it's free. Visit utini.com/community.
Indeed. And if you want your thoughts read on the show, you can email us at legendslookback@gmail.com. We're also
I also need to check that email. Don't let me forget.
Check the email. We're also on X at legendslookback and Instagram at legendslookback. Let's keep the party going and hop over into the United Discord, which is open to all. Again, it is free, where we are continuing the conversation with other Utenians about this week's episode and more. So be sure to check out the Legends Look Back channel.
All right, that's it for us. Keep exploring, keep sharing, and let's keep on expanding the universe together. May the Force be with you.
This has been a Utini Network production. Be sure to check out utini.com for everything Star Wars in one place. Powered by a community of intentional positivity. Thanks for listening, and may the Force be with you.